I want you to open up your Bibles tonight to Deuteronomy. Everybody say Deuteronomy. So that is in the Old Testament, and it's in almost the very beginning of your Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. So it's the fifth book in the Bible and in the Old Testament. And I want us to look at the sixth verse, Deuteronomy chapter 6, and we're going to start with verse 6. My sermon title tonight is Choose Righteousness. Everybody say, Choose Righteousness. Now, we are going to talk about choosing righteousness tonight, but I want you to understand this, that even though we're talking about choosing righteousness, I'm still talking about ripe. I'm still talking about reading. I'm still talking about inviting. I'm still talking about praying, and I'm still talking about expecting. Because let me tell you what, every single one of those words are choosing righteousness. Does that make sense? When you're reading, you're choosing righteousness. When you're reading the Word, you're choosing righteousness. When you're inviting people to church, you're choosing righteousness. When you're praying, you're choosing righteousness. And when you have an expectation that what God said is going to happen, how many know you're choosing righteousness? How many know you're choosing righteousness? So I want to, we're going to read several verses first, and then we'll break it down, and I have several points here that I think will be a help for us all tonight. Let's start with Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 6. And these words which I commanded you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall walk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you get up. You should bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. So shall be when the Lord your God bring you into the land which I swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build, houses full of good things which you did not fill, hewed out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. When you have eaten and are full, then beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You shall fear the Lord your God and serve him, and you shall take oaths in his name. You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the people who are all around you. For the Lord your God is jealous God among you. Lest the anger of the Lord your God be aroused against you and destroy you from the face of the earth. You shall not tempt the Lord your God as you tempted him in Messiah. You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, his testimonies and his statutes, which he has commanded you. And you shall do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it might dwell with you, and that you may go in and possess the good land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. To cast all your enemies from before you, as the Lord has spoken. When your sons ask you in time to come, saying, "What is the meaning of these testimonies and statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded you, then you shall say to your son, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders before your eyes, great and severe, against Egypt, Pharaoh, and all his households. Then he brought us out of there that he might bring us in to give us the land of which I swore to your fathers. And the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. Then it will be righteousness for us. Then it shall be righteousness for us if we are careful to observe all this commandments before the Lord our God as he has commanded us. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Now, obviously, he's giving some instruction here to the Israelites. But the New Testament says that these instructions and these observations that were in the Old Testament can benefit us. Amen. How many know experience is a teacher? But don't believe anybody who says experience is the best teacher. Experience is not the best teacher. The Word of God is the best teacher. Amen. See, God wants you to learn from somebody else's experiences. I'm telling you what, experience is a teacher, but it's a very, very hard taskmaster. You can learn from your experiences, but it's better just to read it in the Word of God and say, I'm just going to do what the Bible says. Amen? So, I want to show you several things in these passages that I believe will be helpful to you tonight and throughout this week. Let's start from the first verse that we read, chapter 6, verse 6. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. Everybody say, shall be in your heart. My first point is this. God wants his words to be part of us. God wants his words to be in our... He says, I want these words. I want my words. These words which I command you shall be in your heart. Say his words in my heart. His words in my heart. What's your heart? Well, when God talks about your heart, he's talking about the center of who you are. The heart of the melon is not... how many know a melon doesn't have a pumping heart in it? Right? A heart of the melon is the center of the melon. And so when the Bible talks about your heart, it's talking about the center of who you are. And God says, here's what I want. I want my words, everybody say, his words, in our heart. You don't have to turn to it, but let me read this to you. This is over in John. Jesus says this, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you could do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and grow and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Now, notice that's New Testament. Because I'm gonna read you some things in the Old Testament, and you're gonna go and you're gonna think, oh yeah, but that's how God used to be. No, God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Somebody say amen to this. Well, that's not grace. No, it's grace. He's telling you beforehand. Amen. Look, what this is, Jesus. Don't think you're gonna come up with a better theology than Jesus. Don't start to correct Jesus. Amen. Do you see the look on my face? No, this is a painful. Don't correct Jesus. Amen. Can we read it again? Look what he says. And if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Amen. Look in your neighbor and say, I hope that's not you. Amen. Amen. But watch this. Then Jesus says, if you abide in me, watch this, and my words abide in you. Now, I'm about to tell you, there's some promises in the Word of God that are so big that our mind just goes. You ever hear a promise and it's so good, it's hard to believe? That's why God says it's impossible for me to lie. And pastors stand up there and they try to, they got to listen. God honors his word. He doesn't need, we pastors sometimes think they got to make an excuse for God. You know, well, but just know if this don't happen. Hey, shut up. Amen. I'm smiling, right? Angel, you see me smiling? No. We need to teach. We need to encourage people to put their trust in God. Like the one lady, Christian lady, told me, you know what? Her husband is going to a men's retreat. Husband's not even saved, and she's going to a retreat. And she's excited about him going to retreat. And then she says, how many know we say some stupid things sometimes? Hamalageho, say what God says. You get some stupid thing in your head that is against God's word. You know what the Bible says? You cast that down. Now I'm starting to preach Sunday sermon, but cast it down. Take it captive. You know what the Bible, it literally means put it under a spear point and just stab it. Kill it. Because let me tell you what, those words are curse words. And they need to have no part of your life. Are you ready? I'm just telling you what Jesus says. If you don't believe it, that's up to you. But you're going to give an account for that. And you're going to give an account for your life. Well, that didn't happen to me. That didn't happen to me. That didn't happen to me. Well, you know what? Jesus said, if you got it. Do you have? Yeah, you have it. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it will be done to you for you. I'm just telling you what Jesus said. Amen. I'm just telling you what Jesus says. Amen. I'm just telling somebody what Jesus says. Amen. I believe Jesus. I'm bouncing back to Sunday sermon. I'm a believer. I'm a believing believer. Amen. I'll never see. Here's the thing, guys. We listen to so much TV. And secular radio that's full of doubt. And I'm just talking about not all the perversion that's out there. And just now regular shows are just perverse. Sexual, all kinds of, you know what? You know, this person sleeping with that person. And you know what? This dude is sleeping with that dude. And you know, I'm telling you, just perverse. And we just, you know what? Well, it's no wonder stuff like this is so can be foreign to us. But it doesn't have to be foreign to us. We read our Bible when? Every day. We're doing our read. So we read this stuff. And I'm telling you what Jesus said. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. Well, that's exactly that. I mean, he says it. It's almost word for word. Verse 6, and these words which I command you shall be in your heart. Why does God say in Deuteronomy, I want them in your heart? Here's why. Because he wants there to be a blessing where you are walking in the supernatural power that when you are praying, that it's happening. Yeah. Amen. Amen. And Jesus says it will happen. My first point, God wants his words to be part of you. They're in you. How many know what we taught at what's the lunch pail? How many know what's in comes out? You know what? So you get some crazy diagnosis from the doctor, and the doctor thinks he knows everything, going to tell you when you're going to die. Amen. Amen. You know, I heard, you know what, there was some lady came to me recently, and she said, you know what, she told me, the doctors told her when her husband was going to die. What'd you do? I said, you know what, don't you dare listen to those doctors. How dare they tell you when he's going to die? I got mad, righteously. I said, don't you, because I love her husband. I said, don't you dare let them tell you when he's going to die. They don't know when he's going to die. But they, how many know they act like that? Amen. You know, they don't know, but God knows. And God wants, so you get that crazy, you have to live with this forever. You have to learn to just cope with the pain. I'm just telling you, if I'm in that doctor's office, praise God, I'm trying to be polite, but I would tell him, shut if thou uppeth. I'm telling you, as I'm not trying to be, you know what, real, I'm telling you, I would tell that doctor, you know what, to shutteth thou uppeth. I would tell him to keep your curse to yourself. And he'd probably get mad at me. I didn't come in your office and curse you. Amen. You don't curse me. I don't care what you think that x-ray says. Say, how many know? You know what? I'm praying that I would have the boldness to speak as I ought. You can't just let people curse you. Not saying, well, anyway, we'll get into it. You'll see it in a minute. Are you learning something? How many are encouraged? Amen. Feel some boldness coming up in you? Am I inspiring somebody? Don't let them talk to you that way. Number one, God wants his words. See, his words are in you. They're going to come out. No. This is not. No. You don't understand. See, you know why? You know why they want to know? You know why they're going to ask you about your grandpa and your grandma and all that stuff? Because they think that curse has to go down. You just tell them, uh-uh. No, 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 no. I'm redeemed of the Lord. Amen. Do I need to sing it for you? Yeah. Yeah. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the snow say, I'm redeemed. You're redeemed from the course of the law. Don't receive that from him or her. Don't receive that from anybody. Amen. Amen. Number two, faith comes through hearing. You said, Pastor, I thought that was one of your ports Sunday. Amen. Well, it's one of my points again today. Look at it. Why? Because it's in the text. I want to show it to you. So shall, look at verse 7. You shall teach them diligently to your children. What? The commandments of God. Diligently. Watch this. You shall walk, you shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and you shall be a frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Are you getting this word picture? See, why? Because we forget this stuff. You know what? Put it on your fridge. How many go to your fridge more than you should go to your fridge? Come on, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Come on, put it on your fridge. Put it on your freezer, amen? Don't put it on that workout equipment in the garage, amen? Notice it doesn't say put it on the workout equipment in your garage. Right? Put it around, put it where you can see it. Remind yourself, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Remind yourself, you know what? Be slow to speak. Man, that'd be a good verse to put somewhere, would it not? Have you ever said something you were too fast? You were just, man, you just, they said something maybe with your spouse and you were just quick to, I'll tell you what, you tell me, I'm going to tell you, boom, 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 and it was out there. What you talking about, Jackson? You shouldn't talk to your spouse like that. What happened? You just were too quick to talk. Amen. Amen. So you're putting it all over the place, and you're teaching this to your kids. Amen. You're teaching this to your kids. If you have kids, get them here. It's not our responsibility to teach them the things of God, but we will help you a lot. It's our responsibility to teach. We're going to teach. Get them here on Wednesday. Get them here on Sunday. Start to teach them that church is just how we flow. Why? Because there's some time they're going to be adults. And if you've trained them and trained them and trained them and trained them and trained them, we have so many parents who've done such a good job in bringing their kids to church and bringing their kids to church and bringing their kids to church. And then we just see that as they get older, they just follow through on that. Amen. Amen. And if you have kids that have gone astray, you know what? Keep your hook in the water. Amen. Amen. Don't pull your hook up. You keep it down. You keep it in the water. You just keep on. Don't curse them. Bless them. Father, I thank you. You know what? As far as me and my household, we're going to serve the Lord. They're all coming in the kingdom. They're all staying in the kingdom. They're all going to serve God. Amen. Hallelujah. You understand? Are you catching this? See, we're faith people. We believe. We put our trust in God. Amen. So, but why are we doing this all the time? Here's why. Because faith comes through hearing. So we see it, we read it, we say it, we read it, we hear it, we say it. You know what? We do it, we read it, we hear it, we say it. You know what? I got a guy who reads me the word with an English accent. Amen. I'm just telling you. You know what? He said some word the other day. I was like, oh, I just started cracking up. But whatever. It don't make it. You don't like a guy's, you know, speaking English. I don't care. Just get it on your phone. Get it on your computer. Get it on your, you know what? I mean, put it all over the place. Why? Because you start to trust God more in what you hear. Over faith comes through hearing. So he says, do this. Do you see this? And do it to your kids, where it's not only you're hearing them, but your kids are hearing it. Yeah, amen. Amen. How many know you only got so many years that your kids are in your house? Take advantage of those years. Amen. Amen. Number three, God's blessings will come. You be faithful, God's blessings will come. But notice what my point is.
Beware.
Why? Here's why. Because when the blessings of God come, then we start to think we're all that in a bag of chips. Amen. You know, I'm out of debt now. You know, woo, I'm out of debt. Woo, I'm gonna go to Palm Springs every weekend and sit around a pool and, you know what, drink a drink with a little, umbrella sticking out. Hello, somebody. Or whatever, you know, I'm going to go to the mountains, and all of a sudden, you know what, I'm going to get a boat, you know what, I'm going to buy a cabin, you know what, buy a cabin. But don't allow God's blessing. That's why it says beware. Can I show it to you? Look, starting verse 10. So it shall be when the Lord your God, see this stuff, God knows. Listen, some of you have started to tithe this year. I'm telling you, the blessings are going to come. Why? Because don't be deceived. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. You start to walk in the blessings of God. Wow, that was loud, huh? You start to walk in the blessings of God, and I'm telling you, you are going to be blessed. But when it happens, and I'm telling you because I've seen, let me go back. Verse 10. And it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land which he swore to the fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. See, he's saying, you're going to be obedient. You're doing this stuff. I'm telling you what's going to happen. You're going to come into the blessings of God. And to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build, houses full of good things which you did not fill, hewed out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. And when you eat and are full, then, what's it say? Beware, lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the houses of bondage. It's a place in the Bible, and God is blessing God. This in the Bible, this is all in the New Testament. This is the yo-yo of Israel. They walk in the blessings. They forget God. Then they get out of the blessings. Then they repent and they come back to God. Then they walk in the blessings. Then they forget God. There's a point in the Bible says, I'm paraphrasing, but it says, why are you paying attention to your house so much? But you're not paying attention to my house. And all of a sudden, listen, you want to buy a boat? Buy a boat. You want to buy a cabin? Buy a cabin. But let that cabin be a blessing to the kingdom of God. And don't be fooled and recognize. Even at the start, we're going to buy this cabin, and it's going to be a blessing, and we're going to let the interns go up on retreats, you know what, and it's going to be a blessing. And the next thing you know what, that cabin has turned into a place where, you know what, I used to see you every single Sunday, and now every third Sunday, you're not around. Where are they? They're on their boat. They're in their cabin. You know what? Their business is so successful. Now they got to be open on the weekends. I'm telling you guys, beware. Because God doesn't want to bless you away from Him. And He knows that there's a tendency that we have when He blesses us for us to get so busy that we forget who's really important. One thing is needed. One thing is needed. Are you learning something? My fourth point, Satan is subtle. Subtle. You know how you cook a frog? Put a frog in cold water. You put a frog in boiling water. What's the frog going to do? Jump out. You put a frog in cold water and then just turn it up a little bit. And that frog's like, oh, it's okay. And that frog will stay in that water till it is dead. If you turn it up slow enough. See? And then Satan says, no, it's okay. It's okay. How many know Satan says everything's okay? Oh, that's good. That should be a point. Amen. It's not, but it should be. Write it down. Satan says everything's okay. Right? Oh, that's okay. Oh, that's okay. Oh, that's okay. Oh, that's okay. And there's just this little backing up, little backing up, little backing up, little backing up. And the Bible teaches us and says, you better watch your backing up. Can I show it to you? Look at verse 17. Look at verse 17. You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, His testimonies and His statutes, which I command you. You shall diligently. Why do you need to be diligent? Because Satan is subtle. He's subtle. And he wants you looking over here. You know what? He wants you looking over here. And then with this hand, he's going to steal from you. And he's going to be really, 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 really subtle. I remember watching this back in the day. But I remember I played water polo, and it was the game before our game. And El Rancho had a really good water polo team. And I remember watching them, and there was this one guy, and he would just be so subtle, and he would just come right around, right kind of in the back, and all the action's over here. But they did this over and over again, and you'd think at some point in time, because it happened throughout the game, it must have happened, he must have scored 10 goals. Just himself, because he'd come right around just real slow, real subtle, and there all this action, and then sure enough, he'd just be there way in this corner, but he had a great shot, and they'd see him, and then the guy who was guarding him, it would be like, oh, you know what I mean, and it run up, but boom, I mean, the pass is there, bam, it's too late. That's what Satan does to us. He's just subtle. But then when he gets you in position, you don't, let me, and I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm actually trying to empower you. I like what Paul said. He said, we're not ignorant to Satan's devices. So it's like that deer hunter. You know what? He's quiet. But he's got the gun loaded, and he's hiding out, and he won't shoot before it's ready. So he's just waiting and waiting and waiting, and that deer just comes out a little bit more, a little bit, a little more, a little bit more, a little bit more. Well, when he pulls the trigger, it's too late. How many know when that bullet is in the air, that deer can't run faster than that bullet. It's done.
Hello?
So we have to be diligent. The Bible says that in the New Testament, it describes us like we're in a war. We're soldiers. You know what? You know, they're not soldiers. You know what? They're not like, no. You know, there's no soldiers out in combat, you know what, shaving. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? What's that? They're not paying attention. We're in a war, guys. You need to pay attention. We're gonna have a class on Saturday. I want everybody there. I want everyone there. Yeah, but I don't have any kids. I'm just your pastor. That's all I am. Okay. I'm telling everyone needs to be there. Why? Because whether you have kids or grandkids or whatever, or maybe for you, you're gonna need this information. But Tamara and I are going to teach you, you know what, how to have stuff to protect your phones, how to have stuff to protect your TVs at home, how to have stuff, because the technology's out there. And the kids are smart. And the parents are dingy. Hello, can we say dingy? You know what, and we need to not give our kids to Satan. Because they're smarter than us in technology. Mm-mm. We need to protect our kids. Satan is, everybody say Satan's subtle. So what? So be diligent to keep these commandments. Be diligent. Don't allow the subtleness of just this constant barrage of, you know what? That's okay. You know, there's sexual behaviors that just 30 years ago, we knew they were unrighteous. 30 years ago, we knew, even the unsaved knew, this is unhealthy. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. How did it change? How do we come to a place where, you know what, if you say anything against certain things, you know what? They'll fire you or put you in a class. You know what? What do they call those classes? Tolerance class. You know. What happened? Just this constant barrage of it's okay. And now they want exposure. And now they want to make this stuff like this is civil rights. Oh my goodness, that just makes me mad. That makes to me, that is a insult to what civil rights was about. It just upsets me. But we have to be diligent to not allow that constant barrage of, you know what, it's all right, it's okay, everybody does it. Well, not my family. So you have to teach this to the kids. And the Bible says, you know what, that it's wrong when you call right wrong and wrong right. Don't be intimidated. Righteousness is not wrong, righteousness is right. I'm going to say that again and give you a chance to say amen. Don't be intimidated. Righteousness is right. It's not wrong. Amen. It doesn't make any difference what they call it. It doesn't make any difference because they're going to call you all kinds of names. Well, if we don't stand up for what's right, who's going to stand up for what's right? How many know? God, I pray. Remember the prayer of Paul? God, I pray that I would have the boldness to speak up and say the things that I ought. Man, somebody's got, where's the leadership in this country? Somebody's got to stand up and say, I'm sorry, this is wrong. You can call me whatever you want to call me, but there are some things that are wrong and there are some things that are right, and this is wrong. Amen. Amen. Satan is subtle. Number five, testify of his goodness. Look what he tells them. Look at starting with verse 20. Starting with verse 20. When your sons ask you in time to come saying. See, listen. God, how many is God blessed in this room? How many is God blessed in this room? Okay. So in the period of time, your offspring, your sons, your daughters, your grandsons, your granddaughters are going to ask you stuff. That's an opportunity. Testify in the goodness of God. Look, when your son asks you in time to come saying, what is this meaning of these testimonies and statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded you? I don't understand all this stuff. Opportunity. Watch. Then you shall say to your son, we were slaves in Egypt. Now what? Testify what happened. We were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and the Lord showed us signs and wonders before our eyes with a great and severe and servant through Egypt, Pharaoh and his household. And he brought us out through from there, and he might bring us in to give us a land which he swore to our fathers. God is a blesser. Testify on that. You know, there's Christians who are like, it was so hard. You know, I became a Christian, and it was so hard. I said this Sunday, man, I had to stop. I stopped eating, drinking, smoking. Oh, my goodness. Please. Please. God is the good God. You know what? The commandments are not burdensome. You know, what are we thinking? God is a blesser. Amen. God, you know what? The God righteous life is a blessed life. And you need to testify that. You know what? I remember when we had a jacuzzi area and it was kind of falling apart and we really didn't have money to fix it up and it was going to be kind of expensive. And Tamara got our kids together and started praying that God would just provide for us. We're tithers, and we started calling on the tithe, the blessing of the tithe. And sure enough, I don't know what it was, a couple weeks later, we got a check in the mail for $5,000. Well, what do you think Tamara did? She testified to our kids in the goodness of God. That's still a testimony that we talk about all the time. I testify to you over and over and over again about the carpet that we got, about the blessing of the stock that I purchased. What am I doing? I'm reminding you, God's a blesser. He's blessed me. I'm a testifying the goodness of God. That's what he's saying. You tell your kids about how good God is. Amen. Because all their friends are telling you how good it is to party, how good it is to sex it up, how good it is to smoke it up, how good it is, the party life is so good. Well, how many know they're lying? You testify the truth of the goodness of God. How many hearing what I'm saying? And finally, listen, my last thing I want to say is this. Our Father wants us to prosper. I'm just telling you what, God is a good God. God wants you to prosper. It is throughout the Bible. It is in every book. You know what? God wants us to prosper. Which way? Every way. My will is that you prosper, the New Testament says, and be in health. But watch this. How? As your soul is prosperous. See, you're not going to be more prosperous than you are spiritual. Amen. The more of God you have, the more blessed you are going to be of God. Now, let me say this because it needs to be said. I'm not talking about the world's prosperity. Because the world defines prosperity as a big bank account. I don't define prosperity as a big bank account. I define prosperity the way God defines it. I want you to be blessed in every way. Amen. And before you're so quick to say, yeah, but that doesn't, finances don't count. You know what David said? He said, I've been young and I've been old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their descendants begging for bread. Amen. See? And if you don't like that, if you don't like what David said, what about what Jesus said? Jesus said, you know what? Talking about taking care of us, he said, don't worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to wear. He said, because I take care of the sparrows. And you know what? I take care of all of nature. How much more will I take care of you? Oh, you, what? Of little faith. See, we need to trust God to be our provider. We need to stop worrying about finances and put our trust in the Lord. Amen. We need to recognize, you know, we need to not fall into the curse that Eve fell into. What was her problem? Her problem is she didn't understand the character of God. Satan came and told her this. What God wants to do is God is trying to keep something from you. And if you'll eat this apple, you're going, or I want an apple. If you eat this fruit, you're gonna know like what he knows. He's keeping something from you. You know, Eve should have said, you lying dog, you. Liar, liar, pants on fire. You mean? That's what he should have said. He should have said, no, you're lying about my God. Look at where we live. Look at what God has provided for us. Look at all these trees. Look at all this fruit that he's given us. That's what she should have said. And let me tell you what you should say. You ought to say the same thing. You know what? You're whining on your Cheerios about you don't have enough. Do me a favor. When you get home, just open up your closet and shutteth thou upeth. Amen. See, we're coming against, you know what, the God that we serve, the God of the Bible, is a God. Well, I'm almost done, but do you see it? Verse 24. And the Lord commands us to observe all these statutes to fear the Lord. That just means to do what he says. Watch this. For our good. When? Always. You know, maybe we're in a heap of trouble because of some bad decisions that we've made. Oh, now we don't shout me down. Now. How many would be honest and say you've gotten in a big financial mess because of selfishness or because of just you went off half-cocked and did something stupid? Thank you for somebody's honesty. Hammond would say, man, we're not talking about married couples here. Hammond would say, man, you got some, you know what, you got in a big, you know, all kinds of emotional mess because you were dating some guy you knew you weren't supposed to be dating. You don't even have to raise your hand. Come on, all of us. No. No, don't start blaming God for our disobedience. Because let me testify about our God. Our God wants us to be obedient to him that we will walk in his blessings. That's what he says. Amen. How many glad you came tonight? How many are encouraged tonight? Father, we thank you. We choose righteousness. We choose you. We choose to do what you tell us to do. Thank you for every person that's here. I thank you. You'll bless them that they were here tonight. And I pray that, Father, we will be encouraged as we leave to be more diligent to put your word in front of us and to teach our kids and to walk in your blessings as we're obedient. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.